Blog Talk Radio.
Can't turn away from this love.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse you. Know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frighten me and now we flee from falling leaves. The grind and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the sons, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the Son of Man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exhaust the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fate. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his race.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praises, all glory, and all honor unto the mighty Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yahweh, the Elohim of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that therein is. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am More Ishya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Here to bring you another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. We'd like to give all honor and praises unto the mighty Yah for blessing us to be here to bring you Yahweh's word, his holy word, and his only true word. And who is this Yahweh? Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only king, the only judge, the only lawgiver, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And he is allowed us to be here another night to speak his holy righteous word. We've been out the last couple of days during this time, but the Most High has allowed us to come back and bring you His truth. Before we begin, I'd like to make a couple of announcements. Of course, upon us very soon is our conference, the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference, which is held 3 times a year throughout the land. This year, this winter, we will be in Memphis, Tennessee, November the 23rd through the 25th. And we'll be at the Hyatt. And you can get the information on our conference and the number to call to make your reservations on our website at worldgatheringisrael.org. That is worldgatheringisrael.org. There you can find out the information to our conference right there on our homepage. Also, as many people are at this time in the midst of Yahweh's seventh month, in the midst of Yah's holy season, and where He has His holy days. As you know, we at the House of Israel teach peculiar to most people among the children of Israel. We don't go by the calendars of man. So while many might be keeping the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur today or this evening or tomorrow, the calendar, the Most High's word, and the calendar we follow from Yah's word has shown us to let us know the Day of Atonement will begin next week. The fast and the Sabbath for the Day of Atonement will be next week. Next fourth day evening, we'll begin our Sabbath. From evening to evening, will we keep our Sabbath. And the Day of Atonement will begin the 10th day of the month, which will be the fifth day of the week next week, or October 4th through the 5th. Again, we give all praises to the mighty Yah for allowing us to be here today. And we're going to be talking about atonement in sin, and what is sin, which we will be discussing today. And before we get into that, I'd like to let everyone know that's been listening to us, that's been tuning into the House of Israel of Cincinnati over these last couple months and this last year, that the Most High is our Elohim and our judge and our king. And we have been raised up to speak His word, which we attempt to do with all sincerity and all honesty and with all our heart. Yet, if for any reason anyone has felt offended by anything we have brought forth, and we brought forth many things, and everything we brought forth was not to attack any of our people, for we are not enemies to the children of Yahweh. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper, and we love our people. Yet the Almighty has had us speak His truth. So if any of that has offended anybody, if they thought we were coming at them in an offensive manner with any kind of arrogancy or haughtiness, we truly, truly ask for your mercy and excuse us, because this is not our intent, and we will apologize if that was the case, because Yahweh wants us to be humble to Him humble to his people and make sure we don't lift ourselves above anyone, for we're not above anybody. Yahweh is the king, and Yahweh is the judge, and Yahweh is the Most High. Hallelujah. And so tonight, what we will be discussing is, what is sin? What is it? We're in the season of atonement, the time to be able to reconcile for the evil and the uncleanliness and the abominations and the transgressions, iniquities, and sins that are upon us. And the Almighty is a magnificent Elohim, that he gives you and I, he gives us this time to return to him. And what time is it? Well, it's the seventh month, which lets us know that this month is separated from all the other months. Because Yah's order of seven lets you know he's separated it from everything. It's sanctified, it's blessed, and it's a time of ceasing. There's no other time like the time of seven, or the order of seven, because this is when things come to its fullness. This is when you come to your blessing and your sanctification. Three important events that occur in this order sets it apart from every other order. And so this is a time where we're doing this. Also, the Day of Atonement is on the 10th day of the month. And the 10th is holy unto Yah. For it is in the order of three, which lets you know it is holy. And so the Almighty wants us to be holy, for he is holy. And he wants us to learn how to return to holiness. For Yah is a merciful Elohim, and he knows that there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And therefore, he's given all of his people an opportunity to return to him in a holy, sanctified, set apart time, where you can now set things aside, separate from evil, wickedness, and folly, and cleave unto the Almighty. So let's discuss what sin is. And if you go to the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, we're going to begin reading in the first verse where it states, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten me a man from Yah. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering of Yah. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat, and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And so what do we learn just here? What did the Almighty just show us? And what is he letting us know? what the Most High has shown us, what he's letting us know, is that if we don't have our protection, if we don't protect ourselves, then sin, which is not of you and I, though you've been taught by the various schools of religion that we're just, sin is just a part of us. Sin is just in us. Sin is just what we are. Yet Yah said to Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at thy door. Not sin is in your heart. Not sin is in your mind. Not sin is in your body. But sin will be at your door if you don't do well. And unto you shall be its desire. What is that letting us know? That if you do good, if you praise Yahweh with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, then you have protection. You've put armor on. But if you don't do well, you don't consider the Most High, you don't consider his ways, you don't keep his commandments, you don't honor him and humble yourself to him, then your protection is gone. And now sin is at the door with nothing to remove him from the gates. So what is this sin? So you can understand how you can see this thing. You can understand if it's in you or not. You can understand if you've been walking amongst sin thinking you good. The Almighty, he gives us clear scriptures to show us so we can guard ourselves. If you go to the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, in Proverbs chapter 14, start reading in verse 34, in Proverbs 14, verse 34, and it states here, Proverbs 14, verse 34 states, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. That's what sin is. And what is a reproach? First, let's understand that the Proverbs let you know righteousness brings you up. Righteousness is what you want to have. Righteousness is a key component to being in the high places of the earth. But sin is the reproach to any people. So don't matter who you are, sin is a reproach. So let's know what a reproach is so we can understand what this exactly means. And if you go to the book of Isaiah, the third chapter, we're going to see reproach in full effect. Because a lot of people believe sin is just, in some cases, sin is just, I made a mistake, because it's sins of ignorance. Yet and still, once you find out that you've had a sin through ignorance, you will be guilty and you must confess and turn from it. And in Isaiah, the third chapter, the 16th verse, it states here, Moreover, Yahweh saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Because I know people thought some European created high heels, but no, this is nothing new under the sun. They're walking and tinkling with their feet, making them and mincing with their feet. Therefore, Yahweh will smite the scab of the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And Yahweh will discover their secret parts. In that day, Yahweh will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings, and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty, thy men shall fall by the sword, and the mighty in the war, and her gates shall be lamented, shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now you see, all of the ornaments in fashion, trinkets that the women were wearing that Yahweh described that enhanced their haughtiness and arrogance. He said, I'm taking away all their beauty. And they're going to be bald. And they're going to stink. And they ain't going to have no man. Because I'm going to take away their men. This is adversity upon the women. And the women saw all this adversity in which they had no beauty and no man. They saw this as a reproach, as something that kept them away from goodness, that kept them away from happiness, that kept them away from being whole. And that's what a reproach is. It's an adversity that keeps you away from being whole. Let me show you another example. In the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter. Because if a sin is a reproach to any people, then what is this reproach? Because we don't want to have sin reproaching us. We don't want to have the reproach of sin upon us, especially when we're trying to return to the Most High. If sin is a reproach, then that means it keeps us from being whole and keeps us from separating ourselves from evil, yet it will keep us in the midst of evil. So how do we understand this and get rid of this? And in Genesis, the 30th chapter, just to give you another example, in Genesis 30, start reading at verse 22. And it says here, and Elohim remembered Rachel, or Rachel, and Elohim hearkened unto her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, Elohim hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Yosef and said, Yahweh shall add to me another son. You see, the reproach, the adversity upon Rachel was that she couldn't have children with the man she was so dearly in love with. But finally, Yahweh opened her womb and took away this adversity. He took away this thing that was blocking her from feeling whole. And once that happened, she said, my reproach has been taken away from me. If you look in the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter, just to show you that sin is a reproach, and a reproach keeps you from being whole. In Numbers, the 15th chapter, start reading in verse around the 27th verse, I believe. And it says here, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. Letting you know, in our land, if you sinned through ignorance, you could bring an offering as a repentance, as a redemption for what you did wrong. But what are you to do now that you don't have the altar set up, and we don't have the house of the Almighty set up, and we don't have the priests in their proper order? What are we to do? How do you repent for your ignorant sins? But here it says you bring a sin offering. And in the 28th verse, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before Yahweh, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, letting you know this ain't ignorant. Letting you know, you open the book one day, you saw, do not eat swine flesh. He said, don't eat swine flesh. And Yah said, you read, Yah said, because he's holy, so you shall be holy, so do not eat swine flesh. And you said to yourself, okay. And then you walk out the house and you go to Big Papa's Bacon in Rib Shack, and you go and eat you a swine sandwich. That's a presumptuous sin. You saw and you knew what was wrong and what was right, and you chose to do the wrong thing. So Yah said, but if the soul that do all presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth Yah. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. You're going to be adverse to the Most High. You go against the Almighty. When you have a reproach, it's going against you. And if you do it, if you know it's wrong and you do it anyway, you went against the Almighty consciously. And our people, we go against Yah consciously very often. And so that means not only is sin against your own soul, it's also against the Most High. You can reproach, you do, and we do reproach Yah with our sin. Because what we're doing is being adverse, causing adversity, and creating a line of separation. We're making a demarcation line, a line of separation. We're separating ourselves from the Most High with our sins. And that's what sin does. It separates you from the Creator. How do you know that? It's in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 59, it states, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. You see, Yahweh said, he's not short-handed, he's not hard of hearing, but your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. And so therefore, we've separated ourselves from the Creator. And who wants to be separated from the Creator? Who wants to actually be cut off from the fountain of living waters? Nobody in a right mind, but we haven't been in our right mind. Go to Isaiah, the first chapter. In Isaiah chapter 1, let me show you what the Most High said about our sins. In Isaiah chapter 1, start reading at the second verse. It says, oh, hear ye, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Yisrael doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken Yah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone back, gone away, backward. You see, a sinful nation, that we just have a lot of iniquity on us. You want to know what an iniquity is? An iniquity is a conscious, repetitive sin. Something that you just keep on doing. That's why he said in the Ten Commandments that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And not because he's making the children pay for their father's iniquities. It's because the iniquity of the fathers have been taught to their children, even to the third and fourth generation. And so Yah has to visit that iniquity on them because it has came up to the Almighty now. See, the third and the fourth has been separated and has been raised up to him. Praises go up, and so do curses, and so does sin. Let me show you in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. In Genesis chapter 18, start reading at verse 17. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. So that goes up to him also, because it's the third and fourth generation that has this iniquity. And so it's the iniquity of our sins that is keeping us away from the Almighty. But as it stated, as Yahweh told Cain, if you do well, then you'll be accepted. But you know, sin is unclean. So if you have sin in you, you have uncleanliness upon you. Look at the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And we're going to start reading in Leviticus chapter 16. And we'll begin at verse 29 so I can get right to the meat of it. It says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh." And this is what happens when you sin. You make yourself unclean. You make yourself defiled and polluted. And if you want to be clean, then you have to return to the ways of the Most High. That's how you get yourself clean. Where do you think the Christians got baptism from? Why do you think they do this thing? That's how they fool you. They say you just need to come on over and so they could dump you in a bad, dirty bath water, and then you've been baptized. And now you're clean. No, that's not how it works. The Almighty has to cleanse you. And I'm going to show you. Look here in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, where we want to begin here at verse 22. It says, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I, not the pastor, not the bishop, and not this so-called reverend, but I, Yahweh, will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Now, why are you going to be cleansed from filthiness and idols? Because idols is a terrible sin. Look in the book of 1 Samuel. It's going to give you some more insight on what sin is, how bad it is, and that it also is an unclean thing. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we're going to start reading here. Let's see. I just lost the verse. But it's the 15th chapter, and it is in verse 17. Let's start there. And Samuel said in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 15, and Samuel said, when thou wast a little in thine, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel? And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore did thou not obey the voice of Yah, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yah, and have gone the way which Yah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yah the Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yah? Behold, to obey is better than the sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and witchcraft is a horrible sin which will separate you, a horrible reproach which will not allow you to be whole. Witchcraft is a complete rejection of Yah's ways. And when you sin, you reject Yah's ways. And it says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. See, when you reject Yah, and he said, because you have rejected the word of Yah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And so when you sin, you reject the Most High. That's why it's like witchcraft when you're not obeying Yah. That's why stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry, because it's a rejection of the Most High. If you go back to that Numbers, the 15th chapter, and what are we talking about? We're discussing what sin is. And sin is something that reproaches. When you sin, you reproach. You have a reproach. Sin is a reproach to any people. Being that it's a reproach to any people, you have to understand that this reproach is causing you to not be whole with the Almighty. And a reproach keeps you away. And in back in Numbers, the 15th chapter, we read in verse 30 where it said, but the soul that doeth all presumptuously, meaning if he sins presumptuously, sins on purpose, sins consciously, sins knowing it was wrong, the soul that doeth all presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or as a stranger, the same reproacheth Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. You reproach Yah. You separate yourself. You stop. You can't come any closer because you're offending the Most High now. And it says in verse 31, because he hath despised the word of Yahweh and hath broken his commandment, that the soul that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Don't you understand? Sinning is the thing that allows you to be taken away from Yahweh's house. When you sin, and if you do it presumptuously, you're saying, I don't want to be a part of the house of the Most High, of the holy people of Yah. And I know that you've been taught that it's okay if you sin. We all sin. Oh, yes, we all do sin. We don't all have to sin. You will sin. You will make a mistake. But you don't have to keep on making a mistake. And that's what we're not understanding. And that's what we need to understand. Let me show you this one more thing to show you how sin, you can't be a sinner and be whole with the Most High. Show you another place on that. Let's go to the book of Psalms, the first chapter. In Psalms 1, it says here in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why is this man blessed? The way of sinners is not the way in which we want to travel if we want to be with Yah. He said, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night. If you meditate in Yah's law day and night, you're not in the way of sinners at any time. There's no time that you will be in the way of sinners if your delight is in the law of Yahweh. And if we meditate in Yah's law day and night, there's nothing that you can do that you wouldn't be able to associate the word of Yah with. Yahweh made everything in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. Everything that you touch and do has an order and a purpose, or has a time and a purpose. Therefore, it has something to do with the word of the Most High. Yet, we think we can only be spiritual when we get off our jobs and when we go into the church. But Yah told us that your delight can be in the law of Yahweh, and you can meditate in his law day and night. And if you do that, you won't walk in the way of sinners. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And I believe I've shown this before, that there's no way at all you could be amongst the righteous. As the proverb said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so a sinner is not going to be among righteousness, because they're diametrically opposed. They're opposites. They're on two different sides of the coin. They're completely adverse to one another. Righteousness and sinfulness does not match. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. In Jeremiah chapter 3, we want to start reading in verse 6. It states here, Yahweh said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Yehuda saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Yehuda feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Yehuda hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but seemingly, saith Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto me, the backsliding of Israel have justified more than the treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou, Israel, saith Yah, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yah, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yah thy Elohim, and thou hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yah. Because when you don't listen to Yah, when you sin, you separate yourself from Yah. You put a line in the sand. You put a wall up. A reproach will stop you from being whole. You reproach Yah. You're despising Yah. When you sin, that's what happens when we sin. And Yah is only saying, return unto me. That's all he's telling us. Just stop sinning and return unto him. Look also in the book of 2 Samuel. And I'm going to 2 Samuel. The 7th chapter, let me see here. The 12th chapter. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to get right to it. This is dealing when David committed adultery and had Uriah the Hittite slain. In the book of 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, we'll start right here at verse 7. It says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee a house of Israel and of Yehuda. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given you unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yah to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thee, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Letting you know, when you don't do the word of Yah, when you reject the word of Yah, when you go against the word of Yah, he takes that as you despising him. If you despise him, if you despise his word, then you hate him. Why would you hate your father? Look in the book of Psalms 19. In Psalms 19, we're going to start reading in verse 12. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. What is that? Your error is because the error is a sin. An ignorant sin, though it be ignorant, it's a sin nonetheless. And how are you going to cleanse yourself from your errors? Things you do that wrong you didn't even know was wrong. And how can you be cleansed from your secret faults? Things you didn't even know was wrong. Fault you didn't even know you had in you. says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. This is how you do well, by praying to the Most High, by seeking after the Almighty, by looking for Yahweh's help. David said, keep me back from my presumptuous sins. I don't want to return to my presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. That means don't let no presumptuous sin become the iniquity that you have been cut off for. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now, how in the world are we to do good? Because that's the other part. Since we found out that sin is a reproach to any people, and a reproach is something that does not allow you to be whole. You can't be whole if you have a reproach. Rachel wasn't whole with her reproach. If you reproach Yah, you're not whole with him. If you sin and have iniquity towards the Most High, then he said he will not hear you, and he will not stretch out his hand to you, because you are keeping yourself from him with your sins. And just one more scripture to show you this does not make you whole. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, look what it says here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 states in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the whole matter. This is everything. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this, the fear of Elohim and the keeping of his commandments, is the whole man, or the whole duty of man. So at one point, at one instant, we decide that we're not going to fear the Almighty, that we decide that we're not going to do every commandment, that we decide that we're going to break this law just for today, that we decide that we can't make it work in captivity, that we decide that we don't have to keep this law because there's no priest. Once we decide to sin against the Almighty, you're not being a whole person, a whole man, doing your whole duty, because this is the whole matter, to fear Elohim and keep his commandments. And also, this is how you do not sin. If you look in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, our people thought that this was a terrifying, ferocious event that we never wanted to see again when Yahweh spoke to his people. But look what Yahweh let us know. In Exodus, the 20th chapter and 18th verse, it says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. And Moshe said unto the people, fear not, meaning don't be afraid. Fear not, for Elohim is come to prove you, saying Yahweh has came and done this to test you, to shore you up, to make you strong, to refine you. Yahweh has came here to prove you, and that his fear, his honor, his glory, his respect, because if you see how awesome he is, that he's the only Elohim. Imagine you've been in America 400 years and the oppressor has found every way to keep you under their foot. They have magnificent weapons. They have rockets that fly to celestial bodies in the sky. They have machines that float around the orbit and atmosphere of the earth. They can locate you in milliseconds. They can find out what you did a second ago. They can read brain waves. They can shoot cancer into your body. They can kill you from 1,000 miles away. They have awesome power. They can globetrot in hours. A great nation, as Egypt was. And now the Most High has done something that no one, no God, no nation, no person has ever done. He delivers you from the most powerful nation on the planet. And then he comes and he speaks with you from heaven as no one has ever done before. Still to this day. And he burns down the mountain and he blacks out the sun and the stars and the moon and everything. And he speaks with you and tells you that you are his chosen and that you are his people and that you are his holy nation. And yeah, it's scary. It's terrifying. It's awe-inspiring. But he said that he did this. He said that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And because we were so afraid, we just said, look, Moses, you talk to us. But Yahweh said, that's okay. I will raise them up a prophet that shall speak unto them all the words that I put in his mouth. And the people, if they do not hearken unto the words of Yah from his prophet, he will require it of you. And now we don't respect Yah's prophets. We say there ain't no prophets. Yet there's false prophets. But there ain't no true prophets. We have no respect unto the Almighty. Which is why Yah said this in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, verse 33. As I live, saith Yah, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Because we didn't listen to Yahweh for the last nearly 4,000 years. So now he has to do it again. He has to show us who he really is. So we can sit down and be humble. So we can be afraid once again. So his fear can be before our faces. So we don't sin. And he said in verse 34, and I will bring you out from the people and among the countries and will gather you wherein you are scattered. Gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the countries where they are sojourned, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. Why aren't you going to enter? Because sin is a reproach to any people. And Yahweh will not allow you to reproach him. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh. So, brothers and sisters, what we're seeing here and what Yahweh is showing us is that there is no good time to commit a sin, especially a presumptuous one. Why would you do that? Why do we do that? We do it. I do it. You do it. We do it. Yet we act as if we don't. And as the scriptures say, there's not a good man that doeth good and sinneth not. So look at what Daniel had to say in the 9th chapter of Daniel. In verse 4, Daniel says, let's look at verse 3. Show you how Daniel humbled himself. Because we need to know how to humble ourselves. Some people think they can do whatever, say whatever and act however, eat whatever and be however, and call themselves being humble. But Yahweh showed us what the scriptures is telling us. In Daniel 9 and 3, it says, and I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearken unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto us, unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Yehuda, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, unto us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And this is what happens. When we sin, we become confused, we become scattered, and we become shamed. Because sin is a reproach to any people. Verse 9 says, to Yahweh our Elohim belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. And so we see that sinning is nothing good. Sinning is not something that you want to be a part of your life. And what did Yahweh say we need to do? Go to the book of 2 Chronicles. Verse chapter 7. We're going to start reading at verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14 states here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. But what is the sin? And heal their nation. What is the sin? Go to the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Start reading Leviticus chapter 26. I want to start reading around verse 36. It says, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquities in your enemy's land. And in also the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that they have also walked contrary unto me, and that they have, and that I have walked contrary unto them. And this is what happens when you sin. When we sin, we walk contrary unto the Almighty. You cannot sin and walk with Yahweh at the same time. This is a false balance. And Almighty wants us to understand and confess our sin, that we have walked contrary unto Him. Therefore, He has walked contrary unto us. Sinning is saying, Yahweh said, keep the Sabbath day. But we've walked contrary unto that law by not keeping the Sabbath day. Yahweh gave us His signs, His seasons, His days, and His years. But we've walked contrary unto that, hearkening to the ways of other men. And that's why confusion of faith belongs to us, because we have allowed others besides the Most High to have rulership over us. But if you go to the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, you'll see another thing the Almighty shows you that you can do now. And this is what the Day of Atonement is about. Yahweh wants you and I to separate ourselves, not from Him, but to separate ourselves from His, from our sins. Why do you think it's on the 10th of the 7th month? It's in the 7th month because the 7th is separated. It's separated because of its completeness. Because you rest from all your labor and all your work and all your toil. It's separate because He blessed it. And He sanctified it. And when something is sevened, it's separated. And He separated it unto Himself. That's why the seven is special. Because He separated it unto Himself. That's why the seventh year is a Sabbath to Yah. The seventh day is a Sabbath to Yah. And all His Sabbaths are Sabbaths to Yah. And He calls them my Sabbaths because they're separated unto Him. And the Day of Atonement is a Sabbath and is separated unto Him. And it is in the 10th day. So therefore it is holy, again, separated unto the Most High. For Yah is holy, and Yah is righteous. And in the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, which again is in the order of seven, you're going to see what Yahweh showed us. In verse 1, it says, O Israel, return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Which we have. We're here today in the land of oppression. I don't care how rich you think you are. This is oppression. Only a rich person can be accused of shaming the flag. And they make more fuss over his so-called unpatriotic actions then the reason why the people are protesting the national idol anthem. You're being oppressed everywhere you go. And that's how we have fallen. We're in the land of oppression. But Yahweh said, O Israel, return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Because we can't take a lamb of the first year to the Most High. Take with you words and turn unto Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Ashur shall not save us, and will not ride upon horses. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our Elohim. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So the Most High wants us to take with us words and turn to Yah and say unto him, take away all of our iniquity and render and receive us graciously, so we will render the sacrifice of our lips, meaning we will say with our mouths that we will return unto Yahweh and we will do sin no more. And then we have to follow through with what we have said. In the book of Hosea, the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, sow unto yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yah, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Yahweh is letting you know again. Just start doing righteousness. Break up your heart, stubborn heart, and then you'll get some mercy. And Yahweh also told us, Yahweh also wanted us to know, if we go to the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 21, where Yahweh has told us, remember these, O Yaakov and Yisrael, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Yisrael, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. So the Almighty is letting you know, though we have been overran by our own sins, our sins and our presumptuous sins reproaches the Most High, and our sins and our iniquities have separated us from the Most High, yet and still, he has had a mercy of everlasting loving kindness, in which he, all he wants you to do, and all he wants us to do, is to return to him. And how do you do that? Well, go to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. The Most High gave us the greatest day, the most awesome day you can give a sinful people. And that is the Day of Atonement. In Leviticus 23rd chapter, the 26th verse says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day, again, the 10th, it's holy. The 10th is holy unto Yah. This is the 27th verse, which is the order of six, which lets you know you're getting a blessing. This is the sixth holy day, which is letting you know you're getting a blessing. And on the sixth holy day, is the Day of Atonement, and he blesses you abundantly. And he tells us also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls. How do you do that? Why does he want us to do that? This is a day that, as the Most High says in Ecclesiastes, to every thing there is a season, and to every time a purpose, and to every purpose a time under heaven. And therefore, there's a reason why this holy day is at this time. If you're going to afflict yourself, you can't do the same thing you do when you're not afflicting yourself. For instance, you can't afflict your soul by watching the football game, because you already watched the football game, and you like watching the football game, and you eat chips and hot dogs when you watch the football game, and you drink beer and alcohol and soda when you watch the football game. So you can't do that and say, I'm afflicting my soul. You can't afflict your soul by putting on your silk pajamas. Pajamas when you want to be comfortable and feel silky. You don't afflict your soul by drinking chocolate milk because you want to feel all comfortable. You don't afflict your soul by eating ice cream and cookies and candies and cakes and going to the movies and going on a date and running a mile. You have to do something that is separated, something that is sanctified, something that shows Yahweh that this is humbling me. I'm taking myself away from my high, haughty estate that I like to be in, and I'm going to bring myself low. And you saw how Daniel, he fasted. He put on sackcloth and ashes. And Yahweh said, afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah, and ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it shall be that shall not be afflicted in that day, same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Letting you know, if you don't afflict yourself, you're sinning. So don't sin on the Day of Atonement when you're supposed to not sin. Don't sin by sinning. Don't do that. And whatsoever soul will be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall you celebrate your Shabbat. So the Day of Atonement is a day where we're able to separate ourselves from our iniquities, from our transgressions, from our sins. But we have to know what these sins are. We have to know what these sins look like and what sin does. And if we know that, if we're aware of it, then we know we've been filled with sin. We've been laden with iniquity. We've been overran with these burdens. But Yahweh is merciful, and Yahweh has given us a way out, as he always do. And all we have to do is return unto the mighty Yah and keep the laws, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments, and the testimonies, and all of his covenants of the great, dreadful, and mighty Elohim, whose name is Yah. Hallelujah. And until next Oh, tomorrow, I'm sorry. Till tomorrow. Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Hallelujah. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me